Chapter 9. The evening chorus of birdsong fell sweetly upon Martin's ears as he strolled along through the woodlands with Skipper and Gomph, revelling in his newfound freedom after the long winter in Kotir prison. The otters were never still. They were playful as puppies, bounding and cavorting through the trees and bushes. Skipper was instructing Martin in the art of the slingshot. He was delighted to have such a keen pupil and took every opportunity of amazing the warrior mouse with his expertise. Casting a pebble high into the air, Skipper reslung a second pebble and shot it, hitting the first one before it had time to fall to earth. The otter shrugged modestly.
"It's only tricks, me hearty. I can teach you them any time. Ha! I'll bet afore the summer's through you'll be able to sling a pebble across any villain's boughs."
Gomph was great friends with the otters. He wholeheartedly shared their recklessness and sense of madcap fun. The little thief imitated their nautical mode of speech perfectly, telling Martin that he was
as likely a cove as ever pirated victuals from Katia's galley.
Martin enjoyed himself. Having been a solitary warrior for so long, he found it a pleasant change to be in the company of such gregarious friends. Skipper presented him with his own personal sling and pouch of throwing pebbles. He accepted the gift gratefully. The otters were naturally curious about the broken sword hilt Martin kept strung about his neck, so he told them the story, and was taken aback by their hatred of Sarmina. Though as Skipper remarked,
"Wildcats never bothered us. Once our crew is together, there ain't nothing on land or afloat that'll trouble otter folk."
Looking about, Martin could quite believe it. Gomph danced on ahead with two otters who did a hornpipe as he sang.
"I'm a mouse with a very long tail, with a heart and voice to match. I've escaped from the pussycat's jail, they'll find me hard to catch. So away through the grass, the flowers and leaves, like smoke on the breeze, the prince of thieves. Let's cheer for the day when we will see the moss flower country safe and free."
Martin was tapping the happy tune from paw to paw when he saw that Skipper had dropped back a few paces. The otter was standing with an air of intense concentration, swaying from side to side, sniffing the breeze. At a sign from him, Gomph stopped singing, and the entire crew grew silent. Skipper said in a gruff whisper,
"Some beasts are coming, mates. Not from astern, mind. Over yonder, there. Birds stopped singing over that way first. I'll wager it's the cat."
Skipper pointed. They could soon make out shapes moving from tree to tree. As the intruders drew nearer, it was plain to see they were Kotir soldiers in full armour, led by Sarmina, a barbaric figure wearing a splendid cloak and a helmet that covered her head completely, except for slitted eye, ear and mouth apertures. At Skipper's growl of command, the otter crew spread themselves out in fighting formation, faces grim, weapons at the ready. Skipper stood fearlessly out in the open, where Sarmina could see him, paws folded across his chest, a sling hanging from the right one, loaded and ready. Sarmina halted a short distance away. She stretched out a paw, letting a wickedly sharp claw spring dramatically forth to point at Martin and Gomph.
"The mice are mine, Otter. I will take them from you."
Skipper's voice was hard as flint.
"Back off, cat. You're on my quarterdeck now. This is Mossflower, not Kotir."
"All the land belongs to me,"
Sarmina said imperiously.
"I am Sarmina, Queen of Kotir and Mossflower. These mice are escaped prisoners. Give them to me now, and I will not punish you. Your creatures will be allowed to go unharmed."
A thin smile played about Skipper's mouth.
"Go and chase your mangy tail, pussycat."
The breath hissed from between Sarmina's teeth at the otter's fearless impudence. She raised a paw to her soldiers, who began fitting arrows to bowstrings. As they did, some sixth sense tingled through the wildcat, and she looked up. Lady Amber stood in a tall elm, in her paw, a light javelin poised for throwing. Reacting instinctively, Sarmina grabbed the nearest soldier to her, a ferret. There was a swish and a thud. She felt the impact as the luckless soldier took the javelin that was intended for her. The Squirrel Queen concealed their disappointment at the lost opportunity by aiming another javelin and calling out,
"Unstring those bows quick, all of you. She can't hold him in front of her for long. And this next one will get her between the eyes, if you don't obey me right now."
Sarmina, still holding the ferret with the spear protruding from his lifeless form, said urgently out of the side of her mouth,
"Do as the squirrel says."
They obeyed instantly. Sarmina let the ferret fall, twisting the body as she let go of it. skipper was backing off into the bushes with his crew. He waved up to Amber.
Thank you kindly, ma'am. Do you mind keeping a weather eye clapped on him while we push off?
Suddenly, the Wildcat plucked the javelin from the fallen soldier and flung it up at Lady Amber.
Cut and run, crew!
Skipper shouted as he bolted off with the rest. Amber had momentarily relaxed the javelin in her paw. She ducked in the nick of time as her weapon came hurtling back at her. Samina did not wait to see if she had scored a hit, but took off after Skipper and the crew, yelling,
"This way! Cut them off through the bushes!"
Martin and Gonf ran with the otters, Skipper urging them on as they pounded through the undergrowth.
Hurry now, crew! Amber can't hold them off forever, there's too many of them. Hark, they're back onto us!
Samina was no fool. She had sensed the direction they would take. Accordingly, she retreated, then came back at a tangent to cut down the distance on an angle. Suddenly, Martin and Gonf found themselves on the banks of a broad, fast-flowing river with steep, grassy sides. Skipper stamped his paws and sighed.
Belay, we nearly made it. Too late. Here they come.
Samina and her troops broke through the trees and came hurrying along the bank toward them. Martin could see there would be no talking this time. He drew his sling, as did the otters around him. They let fly the first volley before their foes had time to notch arrows or raise spears. The hail of stone caught the enemy head on. Rock clattered on armour as Samina threw herself flat, yelling at her soldiers.
Down! Get down and return fire!
Martin saw two otters felled by heavy spears. Now Skipper's crew was trapped between the open stretch of bank and the river. The otter crew rattled off another salvo of rocks. This time, Samina had anticipated it. She had the front rank take the stones on their shields, while another rank behind hailed their spears over the tops of the shield bearers. Some of the spears went too far, but one found its mark. An otter standing up with a whirling sling dropped back, killed by a well-aimed throw. Reinforcements arrived, with Lady Amber bringing squirrel archers through the trees to fire at the Katir troops from behind. Skipper saw Samina's forces turn to face the new foe. He seized his chance. Martin found himself grabbed by the otter leader, while Gonf was clasped by a big otter named Root.
Take a good breath, messmate. We're going for a swim.
The entire otter crew took a short bounding run and dived into the river with a loud splash. Samina was facing the squirrels with an arrow notched to her bow. She spun round and loosed the shaft, catching the last otter in the back before it hit the water. Despite this, the otter still managed to submerge and get away. Lady Amber found that she was losing troops. She decided on a quick withdrawal now that the otters had escaped. Ducking the arrows and spears, the squirrels took off through the trees. Samina howled their victory to the sky. Running to the water's edge, she called a halt to those soldiers who were aiming weapons into the river.
Enough! Cease fire, they're gone! Stand still, everyone!
The troops stood fast as the Wildcat peered into the depths. They watched Samina draw back from the river's edge. She was scratching at her fur, as if trying to dry herself, shuddering as she muttered,
Dark, damp, wet water everywhere. Swirling.
When she was away from the water, Samina recovered her composure. Throwing off her helmet and cloak, she slumped moodily at the foot of a beech tree. Night had crept up unawares. The soldiers stood watching, puzzled at their queen's strange behaviour. Samina stared back.
Well, what are you all gawping at? Brog, Scrat, listen carefully. I want you to go back to Katir, see Fortunata, and tell her to bring the Gloomer to me. I want you back before dawn. Get going, the pair of you.
Brog and Scrat stood rooted. Terror loosened their tongues.
The Gloomer, my lady? Surely you don't mean...
Lady, he's completely mad.
Samina rolled herself in a cloak and settled down beneath the tree.
I know he is, idiots. But I'll get a sight madder if you don't move yourselves. Now be off. Guards, set up a sentry on Riverwatch. If anything happens, let me know straight away. Otherwise, I'm not to be disturbed until Fortunata arrives with the Gloomer. If Brog and Scrat are still here, give them a good whipping with bowstrings for idling.
Samina settled down to sleep, lulled by the sounds of the two ferrets crashing and blundering off through the undergrowth. Nothing could escape the Gloomer in the water. The Wildcat Queen had tasted victory that day. She was not about to let it all slip away because of incompetent soldiers. The Gloomer must be brought here quickly to consolidate her triumph.